according to that plot, we're 5 minutes late. But one of the comments I wanted to ask Councillor Beattie, are you answering the councillor's question?
Well, I think, Chairman, it's going to be answered by Councillor Trowbridge and myself with the help of the officers.
We can only have one cabinet member at the table at one time.
Well, all right, in that case, I'll step down and she can step up, I think.
Okay. Are you serious now?
Oh, yes, that's true. Can we have a councillor question about how many cabinet members?
Well, we're just a minute. We've got, for the benefit of those who don't know, Craig is the officer sitting at the end. All right?
He's a substitute.
He's an officer.
Don't worry about the other officer. He's still got Harrogate on his mind. I tell you what, then, if you sit down, Francis, please. And
we've been through it together.
Three times. You've been through it, yes, all right.
Carolyn.
This is the third time today I've forgotten. Right, Carolyn is there. Okay, we start with the minutes of the last meeting, as published on the council webpage.
Close that, Chairman.
Thank you. Apologies.
Thank you, Chairman. Apologies this evening from Councillor James, who's substituted by Councillor Peter Jones, Councillor Kenny, who's substituted by Councillor McEwen, Councillor Dean McNaughton, who's substituted by Councillor Loughran, and from Councillor Marnie Phillips.
Right. Okay, Marnie Phillips is on the meeting, but not coming.
I came down with COVID this morning, Chairman.
That's the second time in that family.
The whole family's got it, apart from Councillor Price.
Yeah. Righto then. So that's it. Apologies are done. Public question time.
That's now, Chairman.
Right. Council session starts now, and it's a 10-minute slot.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd like the question to be as written, but I'd like to have the reserve the right to respond or answer any questions afterwards.
Can I ask you also to speak up, because Tim is listening far distance, and I want him to hear all the things that are said.
Could you hear me, Tim? Okay.
Chairman, on a point of order, we've got this councillor session, and then on the main agenda item, there is a review of section 106. These two items seem very close together. I understand that one is looking at it slightly from different aspects. But I'm just concerned that we're not going to go over the same ground twice, or whether there will be whether there is a reasonable dovetailing between the two items as far as the agenda is concerned.
The councillor has asked a question, the councillor will put his question and it will be answered by the cabinet member. The thing is this, that we are not talking at all on this committee about £3.5 million. We're not talking about that. That was discussed at the Resources Committee the other night, and they're taking it on task and finish. It's not this. We're here on the main part of our agenda, looking at the process of the 106 agreement, and that's it's a long one. It doesn't link in with this is the council session, and we'll deal with the council session.
Yes, Chairman, but the subject does.
Yes, the subject is all right, on the agenda.
That's what we're discussing on the agenda, and it just seems a duplication and giving more work to the officers when they're at this trying time to work out the 106 process.
Well, the officers have got the time to do that, and that's their job. But I'm not prepared. The council McEwen's put this on. I'm not prepared for it to be bulldozed out the way. He put his question, and it will be answered by the cabinet member.
Could you clarify your earlier statement about the separation of scrutinising 106? Because I would have thought it was important to be able to see 106 in its entirety to take a whole view of it rather than split it between two scrutiny committees. Who will actually take responsibility for saying that they're bearing in mind the concern that we've had over 106 over the years, what is the logic of separating the scrutiny into two?
Well, it appears that at the Resources Committee, the chairman of the Resources Committee answered almost the same sort of question, and he said that the Resources Committee, and after Greenton, they are responsible for all the financial dealings of this council. And £3.5 million is a financial dealing of this council. We are here as economic development planning.
But distribution of money is part of economic development and planning.
Well, when we come to the item in the agenda. All right. Councillor Nixon, nice to see you.
Yeah, nice to see you. Thank you, Jack. In terms of Brendan's, Councillor McEwen's proposal, I understand most of that is already part of the existing process. But I actually wanted to make a point around the final one about speed up the bid process by implementing a 90-day turnaround period to consider and respond to validated funding applications. My personal preference would be to see that sped up to more like 30 to 60 days. I feel that's a far more reasonable turnaround.
I'll mark it off at the end. We'll talk about that. So you're talking about it being a 60-day?
I certainly would like to see it shrunk down from 90 days, subject to obviously discussion and
all right.
What's a reasonable request.
Now you may have to deal with that last bit on the cup. Okay then, we're going to start with the question.
Can I just say, when we get to the substantive item, it may be very complicated, but that's actually certainly is my portfolio. So if you only want one or other of us, I'll be
checking. No, by then I shall have got to the point that I'll need to have both of you helping me out.
Because processes is me, as it were,
okay.
Delivery is her.
Yes, I realise that. That's why I was going to answer the question, but you were in conversation with the chief executive and I couldn't interrupt you. All right? Okay, let's get started then. As of now, the time. It's 10 minutes. It's all yours now, Councillor McEwen.
Same as Mr. Chairman, I don't want to take up any more of the 10 minutes than necessary, so on the assumption that everyone's read the wording prior to my questions, I'd like some answers to those questions and then reserve the right to speak afterwards.
Okay. So the question is written. You're going to answer that. Okay, Councillor Troke.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. And
just a minute, can you hear, Jim? Can you hear Councillor Troke? Okay.
I can shout if you want.
Yes.
Is that better? Yes.
For him to hear.
Brilliant. I just feel like I'm shouting at you now, Brendan. I'm not.
I'm used to it.
Let's start. Come on.
Yeah, make it
well. Time.
So you didn't hear me. Firstly, Brendan, thank you for your involvement in this. You have been heavily involved and helped me a lot with organising some of the S106 process. When this first started, it was myself who insisted on these processes, which you might talk about later, because they're Appendix 1 and 2 in the later bits. That was to make sure there's a process for me to follow when it's under 50,000, so that no one can point a finger and say that's being done because it's a friend. So I have a process, so did Karen Tierney, as has Craig at the moment, to follow for under 50,000. Then we said, how do we simplify this? And we introduced the introduction project template, which you've all been sent the template of it, to add any bits in. Brendan got heavily involved in this, and it's 90% Brendan, basically the templates, which I can't thank him enough. Now that all the process is in place, things are starting to move, and this system of chronological order is for the officers, not for the councillors. The officers, when they have money that's going to run out, must contact the councillors or groups if the councillors don't have anywhere that they can send them to spend this money, to make sure that that money is being spent in the area. It doesn't affect what Brendan's thinking here. Brendan has already got an application in. Once all those tick boxes are done from this paperwork that he helped set up, then his is in the system and his can be dealt with. It's basically the borough then are just being used as a bank. So he goes out to the parish or whoever it is who's dealing with it. They do a part of the application, so they spend 5,000, they come back with the receipts, the borough pays that 5,000. So that process can already happen. There is no wait if you've got a project in. The only wait is, at the moment, capacity. Because as you know, we've been bringing up the computer systems to, and we want them at 100%. They're about 95%. And I'm not computer programmer, but we do have one behind us, Nick Lakin, who has been an absolute star on this, and I can't thank him enough. The software that the planners use is called Uniform, so I'm going to try and keep it basic. That connects to, through iDocs into Exacom. Well, we've got a 2-year backlog, and there's a group, Harriet has led and trained up Megan and Cameron, and they've been putting everything on the system for us. We're about 95% there. Once we've got all that backlog on, we can run with this. We're just a little bit too soon to come here with, look at this, this is what we can do and this is where it can go, which is a shame. But all of Brendan's questions are answered with my very first bit. There isn't a chronological order as such for people who've got one ready to go. It's just at the moment a capacity. Let's get everything in place, let's get everything set up, and we're, like I said, 95% there, and then we can run with it.
Okay. All right, Brendan, you want to come back?
Yes. Thank you for your kind words, Carolyn. It's very nice of you to acknowledge that I have been involved. I think if you are saying here and now that the chronological order is no longer the criteria.
No, that's not my words. The chronological order needs to be for the officers to deal with the backlog. If we've got, last year we had 10,000 that if it wasn't spent in Doxy would have lost it.
Yep.
So it was spent in Doxy. The officers went to Tony and said, we need to spend this, where can it go? So then it gets spent. That is their job, to go in chronological order, because we don't want to lose a penny of this money. That's not our job, to go in chronological order. If we've got oven ready, is what I call it,
Yeah. Then
you can do it. Just put it in and then say, is everything, have I ticked all the boxes? Is everything ready to go? And then it comes to Craig and myself. We sign it, yes, we agree. It follows the process, it's what we want. Or we say, no, it doesn't fit the criteria, I'm sorry, we're not going to deal with this one. It's as simple as that, in my view.
If through you, Mr. Chairman.
Carry on.
Yeah, just for clarity, then, the template that I basically created was to enable applications to be dealt with by officers very quickly.
Yeah.
You know, tick box,
yes
or no. It enables every application to follow the same format, so it's to speed it all up. If you have the reassurance that you say anyone can go out there now, anyone who has money in their ward can go out, get the application, template, find a project in their area and submit it, providing it's under 50,000,
it will be dealt with irrespective of the chronological order in which that money was received.
Yes.
Okay.
I am saying that. As long as, obviously, it ticks all the boxes in the form.
That's what we're
And then
about,
it
yeah.
comes to Craig and myself, and we say we see no reason why this can't go ahead.
Well, thank you for that reassurance, Mr. Chairman.
Okay, then. Right.
Chairman, can I ask a question, please? I'm sorry, I'm new to the committee, and possibly the committee all know Craig and what he does, but I don't. I think all the members know who Craig is and what his role is.
I do apologise. Craig, would you like to introduce?
Thank you, Chair. Through you, Chair, my name's Craig Jordan. I'm the interim head of development here at the Borough Council.
Right.
I'm covering for Karen Tierney, well, unfortunately Karen's off on
Well, welcome. It's nice to meet you then.
Yes.
Thank you.
Sorry about that. I thought I was going to do it earlier, but then this discussion about whether I should have the meeting.
Just
this question.
I felt I was the only person that was not in
the
picture here.
It's your fault.
Mr. Chairman, may I just add a little bit to that? And he's doing an excellent job, may I say. Very pleased to have him on board. No, all this has moved tremendously
Yes, I'll come to things in a minute. Right. At the bottom, we're out of time. Green?
Pretty much.
Right. Andrew says we're out of time.
Can I move, Chair, will it be extended time?
Oh, you have to get a vote on that. You're proposing, have you got a seconder that we expend the
I don't think we need to because of the main items coming up.
Let me just. I've got a proposition on the table, proposed and seconded that we extend the time from 10 minutes, say, to 15. Hands up those who agree. Hands up those who don't. It's outvoted. All right. Now, before we leave this item, it says on the bottom, one he has discovered one property contribution has not been properly recorded. Well, the opposite should deal with that. And then on to the questions to the committee. Request the immediate review. That's what we're here talking about tonight. That's covered on the agenda. And also, the next part, we've had a conversation from the cabinet member about the £50,000. And we have this proposition from Councillor Nixon that we should change the time of the day suggested by Councillor McEwen from 90 to 60. Now, that's a proposition. Now, you want to speak on that one?
Could I add three words to it, Chairman, please? And that would be subject to capacity.
What capacity, Chair?
Right.
What does that mean, Chairman?
Now, hang on a second. I can see this is going to be a good one tonight. These former mayors are all sitting here, you know, haven't they, John? I should remind you that somebody said the other night, you know, you're old enough now to be their granddad, so. just say that enlarge
it
a little
bit. If it suits the councillor better, I'd say subject to staff resource, if that makes it clearer. Because it's the, you know, everybody would like to deal with these things as quickly as possible, but we need the resource to make sure that it happens at the end of the day.
Okay, now.
It's out of time now. Yeah,
that's true.
Yeah. Okay. You what the officer said, it's out of time.
That's
is this relevant?
It was relevant in that you're talking about an amendment to a question that's being asked. And this is to amend the process. Now we're going to be discussing the process in the next item. Therefore, I think the council has put a premature proposal in because how can you amend a question that someone's asking which isn't becoming the process?
The thing is, I'm being helped to Councillor
I'm happy to raise the question.
Yeah, we'll raise the question when we get to it.
I will be raising the question again.
And don't worry about it, I'll get my own back on these, don't worry.
Thank you, Chair.
It's a pleasure.
Mr. Chair.
Right, we've moved on.
Excuse me, as an ex-Meg, and I say I haven't spoken yet. You
no, I
can't.
I know what okay. Right, we're on to item 5, members' items.
That's nil.
Hoarding item.
That's nil.
We now move to officer's report, and it's item 7A, page 4. And of course, the officer who is presenting this, I can see him, and you can see him. And if you've got a question to him, you speak up. And if you can't hear it, what he says, move up and sit next to the screen. That's how I did the other night. Okay then. Tim, it's all yours.
Okay, thank you, Chair. Can you hear me?
Yeah.
Yeah, good. Thank you, Chair. I understand the screening committee at its last meeting on the 8th of February discussed this issue. It was in part driven by the publication of the infrastructure funding statement, which is the annual statement which was produced in December 2021, which presented the sexual minority exposition as at the 31st of March 2021. And it showed that there was 4.6 million of unspent Section 106 funding, with 1.4 million of that allocated, leaving 3.2 million.
We've lost you.
Concerns.
Can you repeat that, Tim? We just had a dropout then.
Okay, yeah, I've had a little dropout occasionally earlier on, so whenever we have a dropout, just ask and I'll repeat. So it was driven by the infrastructure funding statement as at the 21st of March 2021 that shows 4.6 million unspent Section 106. 1.4 million was allocated, which left 3.2 million unallocated at the 31st of March 2021. There was some concern that the systems and processes were not clearly defined and not comprehensive, and accurate data wasn't held in a single location. And the terms of reference of a project were agreed in March to address these concerns. And I'd ask members to note that in March, there were concerns about the way in which Section 106s were managed. And this report sets out the work done to address those concerns. It doesn't look at why we have 3.2 million unallocated, nor what we will do to spend it. We felt that it was vital to be confident of the systems and the processes and the database before looking at these other questions. And the outcome of this work, project work, as presented in the report, is that nearly all of the project objectives have been met. The system that we now use to capture the data, Exacon, is now being used as the single database to store and manage Section 106s. And there are detailed procedure notes that have been agreed amongst the representatives of the six teams that went to make up the project team, and the procedure notes are attached in Appendix 2. We do now have a draft definitive list of funding by project that goes to make up the 3.2 million unallocated, but it still needs verification that it's not yet ready for circulation. Linked to this, as has been mentioned by some members, the terms of reference for the Resources Scrutiny Committee Task and Finish Group have been set, which are to establish the reasons why, in a number of cases, Section 106 money hasn't been spent or has only been partially spent, and to identify all the developments that have contributed to the situation and what actions have been taken to address spending this money in a manner that's required by the agreements. And that's not what this report is about. This report is, as I say, about the processes behind the management of Section 106s. I'm happy to try to answer any questions that members may have. Thank you, Chair.
All right, thank you. Right, I'll say it again, so we understand what Tim said. This report is not about the 3.5 million. All right, so let's not get bogged down with that. I will now call out the pages. If you've got a question on a page, and there's quite a number of them. Put your hand up, or say, if I'm not looking at you, say something.
Chairman, could I make a comment also again, since I'm new? There are so many abbreviations here. Could we not do with a glossary page? You keep having to look back to find out what all these different abbreviations are standing for. Whereas if you had a page, as I say, a glossary page, which gives you all the abbreviations of what they stand for, then you can back and say, well, what is that and who is that? And maybe the rest of you all know these terminologies. They've been here and bandied around in this committee for a long time, but it hasn't been in any committee I've been a member of.
Right.
I don't know how other members feel about it.
Well, if we have a problem, an officer will answer the what the abbreviation means. All right? So we're on page 4.
That's not the point. I said, can we not have a glossary page? A glossary page is a page where you've got all the abbreviations written down
can
and you get the meaning of them all.
I thought I'd have trouble with these.
Former member, Mr. Chairman.
For the Chief Executive, sir, could you arrange that at the next one we have this lot here of what the abbreviations mean?
So, Chair, would you like to delay the discussion on the item until the next meeting we can have a glossary, or would you just like a glossary
yes.
for any future discussion?
I think you've got to have a glossary.
No.
This is
straightforward. No,
thing.
We're dealing with
if
it tonight.
Chair, if you're sitting reading a report like that and you have to keep going back and write down what all these abbreviations are, it becomes quite tedious. It's not a frivolous point.
Council Lockerham, we will be as helpful as possible.
As
but we're going to deal with this matter. We're going to deal with this matter. All right? Thank you. Page 4. Page 5. Any questions on page 5?
I think, Chair, can I just say, I think that the question I had was, it seems under 3.2 on page 5, it would appear that staff did not quite know what the responsibilities were in this process of 106 agreement. Can we have a reassurance that in actual fact, it says there at the end of 3.2, who now understand the responsibilities, do we have an assurance that they do now understand where they are coming in this process of 106 agreements?
Chief Exec. Well, Craig or the Chief Exec.
Do you want to direct the question first to Tim as the report author, and then I can come in? But from my point of view, I'm quite happy that the officers that I have responsibility for know what they're doing. And
right.
I think through this work, and I'm sure Tim will back me up, I think through the work that's been done by the group,
right.
fed into this, that we have that clarity, and it's obviously set out in the appendices as well.
Right, that's great, that's wonderful. Thank you, Chair.
All right, Brandon,
thank
same
you.
Page.
Yeah, same page, and same sort of topic, really. It is concerning that Section 106 money over the years has been, not been properly recorded and allocated against planning applications and permissions and developer contributions, and that's quite clear. Because this is why this report has been produced. And it strikes me that this is a kind of user guide to how we now deal with Section 106 money and how we will deal with it in the future, because we didn't deal with it very well in the past, and hence the backlog of Section 106 money. Without being rude to Tim, to me, it's like...
Which Tim are you on about?
Tim Willis. It's like the workshop manual for the mayor's Volvo. It tells you where the petrol goes in, or the diesel. It tells you how to check the oil every year, but it doesn't tell you how you take the steering wheel lock off, where the sat-nav is for us to drive towards getting the Section 106 money released. So... with that analogy, when I get in a car, buy a car, I want to drive it. I don't want to read the manual. And that's what I'd like us to see going forward from here tonight, is not just the mechanics of it, but how we actually drive it to a destination.
Well, I have to say, having read this, right, at least three times, one on the internet and then the hard copy that I collected yesterday, and again today, I think in actual fact what Tim Willis has done is set out the road, right, and the officers will follow the road, so we will get there in the end. But as I said, we're not going to discuss anything in the past. We're talking here, it's a process. Right, Cabinet Member wants to speak.
Chairman, just going backwards, which I'm sure you don't want to do, but what did happen, as I recall, was that the rules changed. One of our former leisure directors used to store substantial sums of money to build the swimming pool or whatever it may be, for which he needed large sums of money. The government changed the rules and said that the money had to be spent either within the development or within certain criteria that were relevant to development. And I think that's the time when this sort of accrual of money started to take place.
Okay.
And I'm not making excuses, but I have a feeling that that was about eight years ago now.
I've got Councillor Locker and then Councillor Cross.
Well, can I come in, Chairman, and say that we're talking about this new process. I don't see anywhere where councillors are involved. And I don't know whether councillors are always aware that there is 106 money available for spend in their wards. Because I'm not aware of, as a councillor in my ward, ever being told there's a development there and you will therefore be involved in the spending of a fixed amount of money for improvements, because I imagine that's what it is, for improvements in your ward. I've never been informed of that, and I don't see anything. Maybe I missed it in the report, and Tim might tell me I've missed it. Some of you might tell me I've missed it. But I don't see anywhere where councillors are going to be involved. I don't see anywhere where the officers are going to tell the councillors, you know, this planning application is in, we have applied for, and the money will be available. Can you tell me, have I missed that? Please, can somebody say to me, you have missed it because it's on page such and such.
Right. The Cabinet Member's joined us, and I think she's about to tell you.
Yeah, thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the process that I talked about earlier, that Brendan got heavily involved in that it does state...
What page is that on, please? Because I want to know what
it's not.
Oh, right.
This was sent round to you some time ago to comment on. Our local borough council is aware, if not, why not? And if there's an application in your ward, you are always contacted. As Jack would know, when we did the park in his ward, he was involved in every step of the way. Last year, like I said, there was one in Doxey, and the ward member was approached. And there's three this year, Ralph Cook being one of them, and they have been approached. These are ones that need to get spent. So obviously there isn't one in Manor that needs to get spent, as you would have been approached.
I've never seen this piece before.
It came out to all councillors. How long ago, Brendan?
Well, this is March.
March.
I beg your pardon, then I've never seen that.
I mean, I have to say this, Tim is doing this by long distance. To be fair to him, he's got to hear what everybody says. So we are not talking across the table. I'm going to be very strict on that. I've got now four people on the speak. You did your piece, Angela.
Thank you.
Okay. I've got Brian Cross next.
Yes. I was very aware of 106 money in my ward. I constantly liaised with Michelle Smith and Karen Turney, and she set up a proper board, including Councillor Trowbridge, myself, Jonathan Price, and I think it was Sally McDonald, to discuss where all the money came from. As a result of our investigating as ward councillors, they had to chase up some of it. There was a sum of nearly £10,000 for a development on the corner of Holmcroft Road that hadn't been chased up. They did chase it up, and in the end we finished up getting about £430,000 worth of 106 money, which led to us building the neighbourhood park in Holmcroft. If you liaise with the officers on a regular basis, they will give you that information. Thank you, Chairman.
Right, Councillor Nixon.
I was just going to say, having been a beneficiary of this new process, it does make a difference and it is working. And I've been grateful for Councillor Trowbridge and the officers' support with one of our proposals within Yarnfield. And we've already got another potential one in the pipeline as well as a consequence of this new process. So it is working, and it's been, you know, it's been a breath of fresh air as far as I'm concerned.
Right, Councillor Chris Barron.
Thank you, Chairman. Yeah, I haven't seen the full report Angela's just mentioned. The only involvement I've had was many years ago when we did something at St Leonard's that was for a play area, and I was heavily involved with that with Sally MacDonald, and also Victoria Park play area when that was refurbished. But I haven't seen anything regarding, you know, regarding this at all.
Well, let's hope that in the future they do. Right, okay then. We're on page 5. Right, any more questions on page 5? Over the page to 6. All right. Arthur McEwen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. On the first paragraph, top of page 6, says, on occasion the council may agree alongside a third party, such as a parish, that the third party will manage the works. I completely welcome that, because the intention of my pursuing this has always been that the majority of the work should be done by the applicants, and hence the template for the application process. And so it minimises officer time. So I welcome that, if that can be really reinforced. Encourage people to do their own thing and bring it back. That would be great.
Right. Councillor Trowbridge, come and sit at the table.
Well, you didn't want to at the table, you said, so
you,
thank you.
Listen,
I just wanted to add a little bit back.
Let me stop. Let me tell you this much. The chief executive is sitting at the table, which is even... you know, one of these things that I get worried about. So, even though I've got two cabinet members,
so
I'm doing all right. Okay, because I've got all the former mayors to help me. Right, now it's your turn, Councillor Trowbridge.
Brendan, to reiterate what you've just said, it's a little stronger than that, because the only way we will sign them off is if a parish or a community group or a constituted group can run with it. It will have to go in chronological order if it needs the officers of the borough to deal with it. So it really does need to be parish, community group. So it's stronger than you said it.
Yeah.
Right, okay then. So we're moving on from there. I'm on page, still on page 6. Any other questions? Page 7. All right. Page 8. All right. Okay then. The implications are there if you want to say anything about it. Now we turn on to page 10, which is appendix 1. Any comments on page 10? This is the process, this is the terms of reference put forward by Tim Wills. So, okay, now we move on to page 11, the project team membership, and you've been introduced to Nick as a sort of sleight of hand when somebody had to tell us how. He's the technical man. And I do apologise to Craig. Okay then.
That's Nick at the back, I presume.
Thank you. Sitting right in the corner is Councillor Perth.
You don't recognise him because he's got a suntan. They've both got the Harrogate suntan.
Okay, we're off page 11. Over the page, the timetable on page 12. And Brendan McEwen again.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to ask the question to the last paragraph, as you said, the section 106 has been postponed for several months. Do we have any idea when that will be forthcoming? That's to you, Tim Willis.
Well, I don't think Tim. Can you answer that at all, Tim?
I apologise, I'm not sure which part of the report the council is referring to. Page 11.
It's your page 2, page 11.
One, three.
Yeah. Yeah. I'll read to you. An audit of the 106 is due, but has been postponed for several months. It could be valuable to have a representative from the internal audit involved with the project.
Thank you, Chair. I thought you'd move on to page 12 when I was looking for the last paragraph.
I've spoken to the
Chief Internal Auditor about this because we originally deferred it until sometime around June, and then it became apparent that the timetable to complete the project wouldn't be until in the end of June, and we were reporting to this scrutiny committee. So I've agreed that it should be put back further. The difficulty, and I think this has been referred to already around capacity, the difficulty of officer capacity, and these are my colleagues in development, is that they have a number of priorities to address in the coming months with limited resources. So I'm mindful of the fact of not committing them to supporting the internal audit work that's involved in section 106s. So I've agreed with him that some of the initial work can be done early on, but then the conclusion of the audit might be several months away yet. I didn't feel it was for me to commit the staff in development to having to support an internal audit process after I've finished this work as leading this particular project. So I can't give a definitive time frame, but it has been delayed, and it's been delayed quite significantly. I think it was originally planned at least, it was more than a year ago.
Right. Well, I'm sure with the chairperson of the audit committee sitting there on this committee at the moment, that she will be keen to make sure that business comes before her committee.
Well, can I just say, Chairman, it is actually an audit committee item, but there have been several audits which have been postponed because of pressure on the audit staff. But I'm quite sure that the senior internal auditor will have this in hand.
That was Councillor Loughran, Tim. All right.
Just the point that the internal audit will be examined process, and the audit report will be commenting on what they find. But I think it would have helped significantly that every meeting of the project team, all seven meetings of the project team, were attended by the Chief Internal Auditor. So he was instrumental in developing, for example, the procedure notes that are included, and was party to all of the discussions we had, both virtual and the ones that we had in the meetings themselves. So that should give him already some reassurance that when the audit is conducted, he's not going to discover an awful lot of things that require fundamental improvement.
Right, thank you.
Chairman, can I just clarify that when we're talking about delays, we're talking about the delays in the timetable as appended on page 12, and that, for example, what's highlighted as mid-June will be delayed several months beyond mid-June. Is that right?
On your page 3, Tim, it says that mid-June...
This is only referring to when the internal audit of Section 1060s will be carried out. So the internal audit have a programme of audits held here every year, and one of those is on Section 1060s. And because we're doing this work on the review of the processes of Section 1060s, we thought it best to conclude all of the work of the project team, as reported before you tonight, before the audit of Section 1060s was done. So it's only the audit that's been delayed, not anything else that's in the timetable or the action plan within the papers before you tonight.
So the times set out on page 12 are still valid?
Did you pick that up?
That's correct.
You said yes.
Thank you.
Okay. All right.
Mr. Chairman.
Where's your question?
Just to follow on from what Tim Willis has just said then. This postponement of the audit, will it impact at all on the delivery of what we're trying to do, which is to speed up the Section 106 process and to get more projects up and running? Will that audit delay affect? So we're still going to be racing 100 miles an hour as of tomorrow.
Well, not too far.
Chairman, can I just say...
Hamilton's driving it or not?
Come on, gentlemen. Give way, council meeting.
Thank you. The audit is the checklist. It's our very basic checklist, if you like, at the end of the process. But the process goes on, and the process needs to be in place before the delivery can take place to its full extent. It's as simple as that, really. And we're nearly there. I think that's the point we're trying to make. We are nearly there. So be patient. You've heard that it's beginning to work. It really is beginning to work. And the audit will be the confirmation of success. I'm very confident of that.
Right. Did you hear what Council Beatty said there, Tim?
Yes, and I wonder, Mr. Chair, if I could just add to it.
Okay, then. All right.
Just before we move away from the audit, in some senses, if we haven't done the work in the report, then there was an audit, it's quite possible the auditor would have found and commented on things like, how do all the officers know how much is outstanding? How much have we got to spend? The officers that are accountable to spend the money and bring projects before members for approval, do they know they've got all the projects in front of them, all the money in front of them that they've got available to spend? And what about the system that we've acquired for the database called Exacom? Are you using Exacom because we've bought the system? I think at the moment, before we started up the project, the answer to those questions would have been, well, we're not really sure. Perhaps we could talk to each other a bit more. We could be clear about the processes that we're supposed to be following. And we're all familiar with a single database and all using the same database. I think the analogy of the car is that this project is fixing some problems and servicing the engine and filling it up with petrol and tuning it up ready to drive, rather than it being a manual on the inside workings. And I think what this does is effectively preempt a lot of what would otherwise have been critical internal audit report recommendations.
Right, thank you. Okay, now that's page 11, over the page to 12. All right. You're looking intense there, Councillor Nixon.
I was waiting for you to say page 13.
Page 13 it is then, and it's your question.
Yeah. I suppose it goes back to my previous point around the turnaround period to consider and respond to validated funding applications. What is the timescale that the Council has kind of committed to at the moment?
It's 90 days.
Thank you, Chair.
So at the moment there is no timetable in terms of the 90 days. The 90 days was put forward by Councillor McEwen in his question, and then obviously followed up Obviously, it's important to receive the completed templates and to assess them properly, and to engage with parishes and those third parties in terms of what is put in those templates before the templates can be confirmed. So it is a two-way process. We, as the cabinet member said earlier, we want to get that information confirmed as quickly as possible, but it takes both parties to be able to work together in order to actually validate and confirm that information. Now, obviously, the borough council has got the officers available to be able to engage in that process. If the parish or the third party also have the resources available to be able to do that, then quite rightly, it's reasonable to get it done in a relatively short period of time, be that 60 days or 90 days or whatever. But clearly, it involves both parties being available to be able to have that conversation and make sure the information is available to be able to then come to that conclusion.
All right. Craig, before we have...
Yeah, just to, what I'd like to say is that, you know, we will do our best to move applications forward as quickly as possible, but I think to hold us to a specific timescale, given that there may well be some imponderables and some issues outside our control, it will be difficult for me to sign up to that, and I'm sure Councillor Beattie would agree with me. Okay. So I think, you know, the commitment we can make is to improve on the back of these procedural improvements that we're looking to bring in, and the overall better knowledge and understanding within the council and across the services of how we deal with Section 106. And we should be able to achieve something within 90 days, subject to everything falling into place. And as I say, you know, if I've just had to wait a month to get a reply to an email from one of your parish councils. And that's an example of what we're dealing with, unfortunately. So, you know, that's outside of my control. But if we can get everybody on the same page, and we can get everybody to understand the processes here, internally and also external, then I'm sure we can start to move towards what your ambitions are, which is to turn things around as quickly as possible. But it does mean that everyone has to play their role.
Right, well, I've got Councillor Trowbridge first, and then Brian Cross, and back then to Brendan McEwen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For once, I'm going to disagree with Craig slightly here, so apologies. But I see this like a planning application, like a validation. Now, if everything is in place, if that took 90 days from that validation, I'd be disgusted, to be truthful, even 60 days. But it is about getting everything in line first, because exactly, if you're dealing with a parish that takes a month to get an email back and then they're not sure whether they want to do it that way and they want to change their mind now, it could take 9 years. You know, so from what I would class as a validation, as in myself or Craig saying, yeah, absolutely, this is great, I would only give it weeks. So I see it very differently. And I would be pushing for it to be done a lot quicker than that.
Okay, thank you for that. Now move Brian Cross.
Yeah, having been on a parish council, which meets monthly, the question is asked by them, it comes to the council, goes back to the parish, that's another month before they next meet and discuss it. It then comes back to the council, that's your 90 days gone. So you have to weigh in how well the partnership between the parish council and the borough council work in resolving these requests.
Right. In my experience of parish councils, we'll not talk about it.
Chairman, can I suggest that you stick with what's suggested, and Scrivener will bring it back if there's any concerns anyway.
Right.
I certainly agree with Councillor Cross that the delays can be absolutely horrendous. So the idea we can do it in weeks is simply not feasible.
All right, thank you. Brandon McEwen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just to sort of pick up what Carolyn said, really this sort of comparison with a validated planning application is good, because it's when all the ducks are lined up on the application, then you can say, right, you've got 60 days or whatever to do it. And I do appreciate that parish councils can move slowly, But if they see a project that's beneficial in their community, it's surely in their interest to move quicker.
Would hope so.
I would also come back on your point, Brian, that sometimes parish councils, they've got a lot of energy, they want to get cracking, and then we as Borough Hall, the county council, we can really slow things down, and then enthusiasm goes, people start to become sceptical. So I think it's a two-way thing. That's my only point.
Which is a point. Okay.
Thank you for that. So that was page 13. We're on page 14. Okay. Any questions? Page 15. Right. Page 16.
Sorry, can I go back to 15?
You can go back to 15.
There's a point made on point 8. We talked about Exicon on page 15. Page 8, 5.10, the second bullet point, says there could be a separate module. Has that been considered on page 8 to supplement Exicon?
Has that been?
It's on page 8. But we're talking, about Exicon on page 15.
Yeah. I see what you're doing.
It just says that a separate module for Exon, this would allow members and the general public to view some information regarding 106.
Right.
To me, that sounds a good idea. Has that been considered?
Chairman, that's why it's in there, and it's part of the future work programme. Let's get the basics sorted, and that's very much part of what we're looking at as the next stage forward.
Tim Wills is nodding his head, so it's pretty good.
Right. Yeah, he's nodding his head, so I must be right.
You must be right.
Thank you, Chairman. I know what SPP means, but who is the SPP team? How strong is it?
The strategic planning.
Yeah, I know it means that. I mean, how many? They're the people that are there on page 11 that on that list under John Holmes.
Yeah.
Thank you.
Well, you've got to. The lead is Tim Wilson.
Yeah, sir. I'm with you.
Alex Jenhill.
Yeah, I'm with you.
The other names. We're lucky we've got at least two of them present.
Can I come back, Chairman, then, and say that if you're looking at page 11 and you're talking about membership of the project team, what Gareth has raised is, what is the strategic planning and placemaking? That's not a team, that's just called strategic planning and placemaking. This is my whole point about your abbreviations, SPP. I mean, it doesn't even say team. Or group, or committee, or anything. It's just the strategic planning and placemaking. It's not even...
It's a phrase.
It's not even a phrase, it's a phrase that means nothing. There's no verb in it. No nothing in it. It's a series of words. Strategic planning and placemaking. There's no noun. It's all adjectives.
You've lost me at the minute. It's all adjectives. Back on page 8. What page are you on?
Page 7, and if you go back further.
We're not going back. We're not going back.
You need to go back to see when the first night mentioned SPP.
Yes,
because it's only mentioned once what SPP is.
The chief executive takes it on board that certain councillors don't know what these abbreviations mean, and he will arrange to have the glossier sent out.
Well, we should be told that it is the project management team.
Right.
SPPS.
I'm on page 14. Right. Any questions on 14? Move on to 15. Okay. Any questions on 16? And then on 17? 17. There are 5 key processes required. That's what it starts at, point 4.3. We haven't got to the big one yet. Right. Over the page to 16, this is the plan.
That's 18.
It's 18. Yeah, 18, 17 to 18. Right now, at the pre-meeting, I had a copy in front of me that size, and I suggested the officers that we would rather have a large copy that size. So that's what we're going to look at, is page 19, appendix 3, the big copy. Now,
sorry, Mr. Chairman, are we looking at 18 first, the actual process?
Well, that, I thought we dealt with that in the
past. Oh, I was going to comment on that, sorry.
I thought we'd seen this last time.
This one?
Yes, I thought we'd seen it last time. Or something similar. Okay, we'll stick with 18 for you.
Well, thank you. I just wanted to pick up on the fact that nowhere in that process does it say councillor engagement at all. And, you know, within Exacon, is there a field somewhere in there where it says, we've had the money from the developer now, somebody give the local councillor a call to say, we've got the money, have you got any projects? You know, does that feature anywhere in the Exacon process?
Should we pass over to Craig?
Sorry, Mr. Chair.
Right, Craig.
Chair, I think what's become apparent, and I can say this because I'm new to the authority, is that I think that there's not enough transparency and awareness about Section 106 across the authority and with the members.
Yeah.
And I think one of the things I'd like to take back from tonight and possibly report in a future meeting is what we're going to do within the development service to raise awareness, because that's where Section 106 starts, through the development process and the role of planning obligations being negotiated. So I think, you know, we do need to sort of start to improve in that area and build upon this process map, so that members are fully aware of when Section 106 is coming into the process, where they are, how they're being dealt with, and then obviously how they, in terms of financial provisions, how the money is going to be spent going forward. So I think that's something which I think I take back in terms of how we publicise things, so that you're all aware at the beginning of the process that there are Section 106s coming into the council.
Welcome that.
Random.
Yes. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Yeah, exactly. I think we were promised a councillor training session, weren't we? And that hasn't happened to date. But I think it would be useful, because Councillor Barron, you said you hadn't seen the application template. Angela has not seen the. It might be useful to have a councillor training session where here's the template. This is how you fill it in, or this is how you get it out into the community to be filled in. And that would be promoting what money is available in particular wards, and also how you engage with the public using the template.
You can't fill it in unless you know there's money there.
Oh, no, you need to. Yeah. But we just have a. Sorry, through you, Mr. Chairman.
Yes, I'm about to say to my colleague, it's through the chair. Thank you. Because you do it to me when I've sat on your committee. Right. Now, Councillor Trowbridge, anything new to
have? Yes, I have. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'm just about to drop Alex right in here then, because we was promised training on this. All the councillors coming together to understand the process and to understand the forms and what money. My guess is, so I will take him from under that bus now, they're waiting for the last 5% to be in so they can show it as a whole, where there's money in your ward, things to be done, and the process to follow. So I'm hoping that is what's going to come to you by the end of this year, at the very latest.
The officer has written down that training is needed by councillors.
Yeah.
All right? He's right, he's written that
and
down.
And I agree.
He's got it. And that's a point to make. That's a point to make. You've asked the question, it's in there, and it's going to be chiselled into the building, into the bricks. Right? Now, is everybody happy on that?
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Mr. Mayor, again, you've got me sold.
It's a long time ago.
Thank you, guys. Thank you. Okay, now, page 18, and I think we should say to Craig what Brendan McHugh mentioned needs to be slotted into this chart somewhere. That councillors should be involved. It was on a previous chart we saw.
I can absolutely, Mr. Chairman, assure you they are involved. Yes, it's not.
Yeah, well, it was on a previous one.
Yes.
Okay, now, the officers got to great cost to produce this for you. So we're going to look at that page. It's page 19.
Is that Mr. Time?
That's a big one.
Have you got your spare one?
Yes.
Yeah, there's one going on. Okay then. Angela Rockland has got a question, I believe.
Just at the top here that I've ever read, future monitoring and reporting needs to be considered.
Excuse me, Councillor Nixon, have you got a copy?
I'm all right.
Okay. You're all right with that.
Okay.
Check
savers.
Now mine. Okay, the Council Lockroom, it's all yours.
Future monitoring and reporting needs to be considered. And then it says project team discussed that on the 10th of May. And what does it mean to be informed by scrutiny on the 30th of June? Does it mean that you're going to, is that a misprint where you're going to inform? It's about
fifth down.
Where there's a break, you know, action.
Okay.
And we have the first break, just above the first break.
That's today.
I know it's today, and I'm asking, is there going to be, are you going to inform scrutiny on the 30th of June, or what, are scrutiny going to inform you? I don't understand that. Future monitoring and reporting needs to be considered. Project team discussed it on the 10th of May. And then it says to be informed by scrutiny on the 30th of June. Are you going to inform us on the 30th of June, or are we, the scrutiny, going to inform you?
Tim, I've took my eyes off the screen. I'm sorry about that. Tim, Will.
Yes, sir.
Tim, Will.
Thank you, Chair. Yes, what was intended by that particular action was, we talked about the options around reporting in the project team, and we're conscious that we produce annually the infrastructure funding statement, which is driven by the final accounts process each year. But it's not a mistype. It is intended to say to be informed by scrutiny on the 30th, because what that means is as a result of these discussions we're having now and you're having amongst yourselves on the committee, you felt that you wanted more information in relation to Section 106, is then subject to discussion with the relevant officers, it might be that we could commit to some other reporting in our projects, individually or collectively. So it was left deliberately open the possibility that the scrutiny committee itself might come up with any recommendations that weren't reflected in the report.
Right. Okay, that one. Anyone else got a question on this page?
Well, I've got one or two things, but I don't want to ask questions.
You're here representing someone else. Question?
Just at the next break, if I can call it a next break, on the right-hand side under notes, it says list provided by to SPP on the 16th of June, which needs verification against Exacom.
Yeah.
So SPP, that's your...
Yes,
that's
produce
really
this list, they won't spend
my
allocation.
Attention.
Now,
it's a project team, is it not? So.
I think the point on this, we said we would not talk about that 3.2 million at all. We're talking about procedure. Now, that mentions that money. So,
all right, okay.
Okay, we're not going to talk about that. That's going to go to the resources committee.
Right.
Okay, so we'll move off that. Next, have we got another one?
Yes, and it's coming back to my question about abbreviations. IT to resolve Exacom uniform issue. And then under action, it says AY, presumably Alexiendo, noted that the number of Section 106 and UUSs to increase from the 1st of April 2022 due to additional SAC developer contribution. The rest of you probably know what that means, but I'm sorry, I'm just sitting in today.
What
so
does SAC?
Unilateral undertakings.
It's not senior aircraft, man.
And SAC is the special area of conservation.
Well, that's
kind of Tuesday. I mean, Brian and I are very excited when we talk about SAC.
Do
they
exist anymore?
I'm not
going to.
Unilateral undertakings, what is that? It sounds like.
Now, Craig is answering the question.
Through you, Chair, planning obligations are what they are. So, a planning obligation is an obligation on an applicant to conform with something to as part of their planning permission. But a unilateral undertaking is when the applicant does not necessarily need to enter into an obligation but can offer an undertaking that they will do something. They don't have to, but they're offering to do it themselves. So it's a unilateral undertaking. So it's
something
to keep it very simple. Section 106, planning obligations and unilateral undertakings are effectively the same thing,
right.
Just different nuances.
Okay,
I've got Councillor Jones. No, I'll take you first. He's done a fair deal.
No, I'm just going to partially agree with the councillor looking at. I mean, I've come from industry before being involved in councils, and they do love an abbreviation. Really, I suppose, how much more ink does it cost if you use the full text all the time instead of the abbreviation? You know, because if we did that today, we wouldn't be talking like this. We wouldn't be saying, what's an SCC, what's a UV, what's a UV40, what's that, you know.
Right.
Somebody somewhere along the way knows why we use the word, because it's easy for someone to type who knows what it means. Yeah, just type, you know. Anyway, that was just, so why don't we go and use it in form?
I nearly said something I shouldn't have said, but
no, don't say it.
Brendan McEwen.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just going back up the page a little bit to, about a third or a quarter of the way down. Develop a plan to start allocating the 3.2 million. And I know we're not supposed to say 3.2 million tonight. And a date of 30th of September down to Alex Yendall. Does that mean that no money can be allocated before the 30th of September?
I could answer that as well. Money's already been allocated. That's just for.
Can it be given out though?
Yes.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Sorry, Tim's nodding again. So, all right, Tim. Tim Wills. Okay.
Yes, I just wanted to confirm that doesn't mean that action still isn't being taken. That particular action, and I just made the point that the action plan, the light coloured bits and the ones that were still due to be done as actions, or the grey bits are done. I could have excluded them from the report entirely. And maybe I should have done, because there might be some abbreviations in there that are unintelligible. But the 3.2 million, after talking to Alex, we were saying, well, we're getting pretty close to knowing exactly, project by project, how much there is, what goes to make up that 3.2 million. And the next question from members, whether it's this scrutiny or the other scrutiny or other members, is going to be, what's the plan to spend it insofar as you're able to come up with a plan? So I wanted to put in there a date with Alex as to the date that we could start that work on having a plan to spend 3.2 million. That doesn't mean to say that work hasn't gone on, isn't going on, and will go on to spend that 3.2 million. It's just come up with a plan to spend it.
All right. Thank you for that, Tim. Will. Thank you. Okay. That's his name, isn't it?
Willis.
Sorry.
Okay,
we will stop there for a moment, because we now turn to page 21, and I can tell you all, 20, there's something on the back of 20, and it's on the back of the big one as well. Anybody got any questions on that? No? Good. We move on then to page 21. And members should not get concerned. This is what I shall stand up and talk about. This is the one, isn't it? No, this is the quarterly performance.
Chairman, have we left the...
Sorry?
Yeah.
We've come to... Could you clarify what the agreement between the chairs is and the various between resources and this in terms of responsibility? Are you saying that any question about allocation of the 3.2 million is solely resources, and any questions about the effectiveness of the process of determining 106 and the distribution of it is this committee?
I think in actual fact what the resources committee is concerned about is the 3.2 million. What they're concerned about, that it's there. But this committee will do the allocation. It's not there. They're concerned about the overall figure, and they obviously worried about it because they had their task and finish. But we are the people that will determine where the money goes.
So the validity of the 3.2 is resources, and any changes in that 3.2 is resources. But the allocation of the 3.2 is economic development.
Yeah.
Thank you. That's
okay,
helpful.
Okay, that's
because it comes from.
We now move to the report.
Concerned with that.
That's the committee to now do reports.
That's
yeah.
What I was concerned with.
Would you note the report that Tim has produced?
Chair, can I also thank him for such a detailed report?
That's been
very
helpful.
That's very kind of you to say that. Okay.
I think it's been a very useful session.
You've kept them going, Tim, so that's it.
I think Tim probably wants to leave. Do you want to leave, Tim?
Don't
are you
encourage
staying?
Him.
Yeah, I think
right.
Tim's going to leave.
Okay. My turn. We'll look to see you again. Okay. All right, that's off. Now, we turn our attention then to page 21, which is your quarterly performance reporting, quarter four. Okay, on the first two pages, and this is Tracy Redpath, and who's standing in for Tracy Redpath.
Can I just take you page by page and trace his absence?
Yes. Okay, we're taking it. Did you hear that? The officer said we'll take it page by page and straight his absence. And we turn from page 21 to 22. And we move on to page 23.
Chair, can I say page 23 is very difficult to read for the years? For
years. Oh, sorry, because you printed that out yourself.
Well, I printed it at home and I get a Dove printer.
Yeah, I printed the same, Chairman, that's why I borrowed one off the table tonight.
Yeah.
Well, it's a wee bit late to be trying to read it, you know, you're sitting at home doing your homework and you're
spinning
your eyes. It's here now,
but
you can't get it
near
at home.
Should have put landscape on your printer.
Page 23.
Can I ask, how does it happen that you print it like that and you've been out printed at home? It's
well,
technology.
You press a button called landscape.
There should be no more comments about technical things by councillors. Okay, let's have a look at what's on page 23. Any questions on page 23?
Chairman, why is 1.1.3 in there if it's not applicable?
1.1.3?
Yeah.
Review all the land ownership?
Yeah. Then it says it's not applicable, if that's what ANA means.
Yeah, it does mean that.
Why
so
is it on there then?
Who's standing in? Tracy Redpath.
So, you Chair, just on that particular issue, I mean, if you look at the commentary and the action, we've effectively deferred undertaking that piece of work. crystal clear as to the economic situation affecting the borough. So it's not that we're not going to do it, we will, it's just not good,
right?
So we can't record it effectively. So,
right. So the pandemic had a serious, it did have a serious impact on the car parking and how much we made. Right, any others on that page?
Page 23. Yes.
What number?
Page 23, 1.2.3, improvement, maintenance, performance of development management. Figures there of 80.5% was previously 86 on major developments and 84 for non-major, previously 87%. I have to say that if you ask anyone around this table, one of the biggest issues in anyone's wards is the way planning applications are processed and the slowness of it. Any agent, any developer, any builder, any householder that you question will probably say, my experience was not quite as what's written down here tonight. I think the timing of validation is obviously the point at which triggers, okay, you've got 8 weeks from now or 13 weeks from now to deliver a decision. But the process to get it validated is the thing that really is sticking in the craw of a lot of agents, developers and householders. And I know it says we've got new resources coming in temporary to try and speed up the validation process. It doesn't need speeding up, it needs a rocket under it.
Right. It does say there that additional temporary staff have been recruited. It does say that. Craig?
Yeah, through you, Chairman. Obviously, the period we're talking about is a while ago now, so if it's helpful, I can say that since I've come into my role, we've started a review of our validation processes, looking at the streamlining where possible. But also, one of the things I think it's fair to say is the quality of the applications that we're receiving is generally poor. So it's not a problem really that for the district council, sorry, borough council. It's really an issue with the agents and the people putting applications in are failing to understand what we require for an application to be valid. I can't give you the percentage, but it's quite high of the poor quality applications that we're facing. We're introducing a system where we're going to filter out a lot of those poor applications and basically push them back to people. And that should buy a bit of time for us to deal with those that are valid and should be allowed through. And there's a learning point there, I think, for agents and applicants. And we're going to give as much clarity as possible as the borough council as to what we require on our website and through agents' forums. So that should have an effect. I think we are starting to see an improvement in the overall validation backlog as a result of the discussions we've been having within the service. And we're also obviously employing some temporary resource to help bring that backlog down to something reasonable and hopefully get rid of it and remove it. So there's a lot of ongoing actions that are taking place on the back of these reports here, which hopefully will give you confidence and comfort that we're going in the right direction. We appreciate there's some more other issues as well about the performance of our case officers and getting those applications through the system. But I mean, I just would point out that those percentages there are still very good, very high compared with the national targets. So I wouldn't like to lose sight of the fact that whilst we know there are issues within the development service which we are addressing, we're still managing to perform against national KPIs. I think that's something worth bearing in mind. Appreciate there are pressures and challenges that we are dealing with.
Okay then, Brendan.
No. Finished. I've said enough. The rocket.
Well, I mean, I will say that when you read it, that it's 80.5 processed on time. National target is 60. And then 8.4. I mean, I will say that we've increased our production from what it was in the past. Right? I know that no other leader of the council has to suffer as I did when a national office, a cabinet member, turned around and said, you've got to do something at Stafford or else. Right? We have moved on from those days. Okay, so anybody else on pay? Oh, Gareth Jones.
On 122.
Yeah.
Somebody perhaps remind us, Chairman, of what the significance of the target on affordable homes is. Is it something that we try to work to, or is it just a yardstick?
Chairman, it's a requirement by government.
That we achieve.
It's part of the 5-year supply that you all heard of. Alex is the expert on this, so I'm not sure.
So, through you, we're required to achieve 261. We're 210. We're monitored against 210.
And we have been consistently achieving over target on affordable, which is unlike most local authorities, interestingly.
You may stand up and talk to us and come to the table.
I'm just here for nothing, Mr. Chairman, obviously.
Oh, don't power, John.
I'll bank your feet if I want to bank my feet. Mr. Chairman, good evening. Good evening, committee. In answer to the councillor's question, there is a thorough needs assessment done as part of the local plan process, so that we understand how many homes we should be building each year and the type of homes that we should be building. And it ranges from looking at the geography, makeup of households, but also making sure that we've got the right number of homes in the right places. And that obviously has to include affordable homes. Target has long-standing been 210, and I'm delighted to say that since being in this local plan in 2011, we've been massively overachieving against that. I would just put one note of caution into the conversation, however. Future performance doesn't necessarily follow past performance. And I think increasingly, because the availability of the right bits of land and partners to deliver the affordable homes doesn't necessarily mean that it will be as easy to maintain that. But if we want balanced communities, we absolutely need to be building the right level of affordable homes. I also can say that as part of the new local plan process led by Alec Kiengel, that information will be updated and taken into account going forward.
Right, thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, right, that's on page 23. We're moving on. Page 24.
Chairman, since there is no one here from Stone tonight, I feel I must ask a question on their behalf. 1.3.6 Stone Leisure. It says procurement of the main works contract for Westbridge Park is underway. With the tender published on the 21st of February, the closing date for submission is the 12th of May, after which bids will be evaluated. Is that now being done? You know, people from Stone would love to know that.
I've got an electron.
Yeah.
I'll talk
right.
Too much.
Through the chair, yes. We received tenders and we've appraised them, and we're in discussions with a preferred bidder.
Right. Thank you for that, Chairman.
Can I ask a question? Does the mayor still get involved at looking at tenders?
No.
It's a backwards step. I mean, with it being a stone mayor, it would be quite interesting.
Councillor Hood is on the Stone Leisure Board and part of the contract.
Okay, thank you for that. Right, that was page 24. Over the page 25. Brendan McEwen?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. If I could look at 1.5.1, revise and refresh the local plan. I think every councillor is being asked by people in their wards what's happening with planning at the moment. We hear that this field is going to be developed or that field is going to be developed. Just the question really, where are we with that review? When, as councillors, are we likely to be informed of the next phase of the local plan review, when real material and information will come out so that we can tell our ward members, or sorry, our people in our wards, look, hang on in there, it's going to happen in October or whenever, but people are getting impatient to know what's happening with the local plan review.
Can I say before the cabinet member answers, this affects certain councillors on this borough council. Other councillors never get bothered about where they're going to build the houses because there's nowhere else. They can build on the field, on the playing field, but they're not going to, so I'll bear that in mind.
Chairman, just to confirm, the preferred option will be coming out imminently. It'll be going to cabinet briefing in cabinet. And the general intention is to have the process completed by the end of the year. Have you been through consultation?
Sorry, through you, Mr. Chairman. So, just to repeat that, the preferred options are coming out imminently.
Yes, they'll go to cabinet briefing, cabinet. They do go to cabinet, don't they? Yeah, they then have to go to cabinet on the 6th of October. I'm getting this information from your back of me. And then they will go to scrutiny, out to public consultation, and the intention is to have the preferred options put to bed by the end of this year.
Mr. Chairman, just when we say preferred options, these are the options that will be presented to members of the public for comment.
Yeah.
And that's going to happen between October and December.
Correct.
So we can tell people in our wards
what this says.
Well,
October to December, nothing will happen before then.
Chairman, it's a public meeting, so obviously the information's out in the public already. What I have to say is that we have the complications of the planning legislation going through the system, and it's given us a bit of a break to say, let's just watch what the government is intending in terms of the planning legislation as it goes through. So we're trying to weigh up what might change, as well as trying to push forward, because we need to get this done, basically. And our thoughts were that this is probably the right timing, given that there is a lot of interest, and particularly in the parishes and local communities, and it feels like there's been a delay. And if we push on with it now, we finish the process in 2024.
Right, thank you. But the public will get to know in time.
The public should be well informed of the latest stage by the end of during the course of the last.
Okay, thank you for that. That was page 25. We're now on page 26. Rather small, but can be read. Any questions on that? No. Now we come on to item 7C, which I'll tell you, don't worry about it, this is what I shall say at the council meeting. And I have to get up to Council Nixon and read this. I didn't write it, and you did. But we have an agreement. All right? So page 27 and 28 is my report to the council. And we move now on to page 30, which is the works programme. Andrew Bailey leads on this.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. The main thrust of the work programme starts on page 32 in the appendix.
Yeah. And I must say that on page 51 on 31 it says, the work programme is owned by all members of the scrutiny committee.
Absolutely.
In other words, it's your turn to say about various things. All right, so we look at page 32.
Chairman, we don't revisit this 106, which has been very interesting, and it's clearly we're at a cusp of a change, and I'm just wondering whether it would be appropriate to review progress between now and, say, the 15th of November.
So you want it put in?
Support that.
Well, I'm suggesting, Chairman, I think that from the interest that there has been and the value of this meeting, it would be very helpful to know what progress has been made by the end of November.
Right.
But at least the 95% will be 100% by then, and we can celebrate that.
I think the point to make for you, to you is, do you want it on the 15th of November, or do you want to leave it till January?
I don't know the answer to that question, really.
January,
I'll take
advice. January would be preferable, because the
okay,
summer holidays, November's not that long.
So the 106 update will be
I'm happy with
January
that, Chairman.
One.
Yeah, I'll send that to you.
Okay, so that's seconded. All agreed?
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I've written on the top of this when camp future items we dropped in, and if you look on page 33, the future items are there: rural strategy, the high street and markets update. That's a very hot topic out in the town. A lot of rumours are going about the high street and the market update. So I do feel that maybe that should actually come in very early in September or November, that we should get an update. Things are going on that I hear rumours about, but nothing's ever been mentioned to me as chairman of this committee or by officers. Now, Craig,
could I actually say all councillors should have this group, because not all councillors actually get a copy of your agenda to actually come along to your meeting. So to say that it's on the agenda, not all councillors have this agenda. And we don't even have notification of the agenda. You don't get an email coming out to say to you, unless you're a member.
Now, just a minute. Let's not talk across this. I have to say, colleague, that in actual fact, you can look at every agenda. Regrettably, and I will say this to you straight up, that I miss seeing the paper copies. Mm. I miss seeing them, and I will be honest with you, that it has an effect on, it must have an effect on the work of councillors. But the stuff does appear on the council page.
But with respect, Chairman, councillors are not informed of the meeting unless they are a member of that committee. The only people who had noticed that this committee was taking place were the members of the committee. Now, I'm a sub tonight, but I didn't get a copy of this. I went on to the website because I knew that I was subbing. But I don't get noticed that resources are having a meeting whenever they're having it, and therefore I could go to the internet and see it.
Now, see, I think, to be quite honest and to be fair, all the information on various committees does appear on the members' page. And you can. I always look, you're still here, yeah. I always look at the cabinet, what the cabinet's up to. I always read that to see what they're doing. And also, I look at other committees. But the point about it is that, like being one of those members that grew up with a piece of paper, that using the technology is a nuisance. But the fact is, you have to be fair to the officers, it does appear on the members' page.
So the lesson is, check the members' page regularly.
Yes.
Chairman, it's also in the digest, and it's in your diary that you get it here.
We're not going to enter into any big discussion about the digest. That's another. That doesn't come under this committee, I'm going to tell you. Brendan, this is probably your last question.
I'm sorry, Mr. Chairman. As the diary has been mentioned,
yes,
are we going to get our normal booklet with all dates in there?
The officer is telling me what's going on. Tell them.
Big announcement. It's in print now.
Oh, thank you.
Okay, it's in print. You'll get it in future. Christine?
Yeah, thank you, Chairman. Yeah, you just mentioned the market again and things going around. To be quite honest with you, at this moment in time, it's rumours.
Yeah.
And there's nothing else because people make things up, and unfortunately, there's a couple or three of the people themselves who are passing word around to the public. It is rumours.
Right, but looking at the future items, the High Street and the market, I think we should have an update on that.
Yeah.
And the gateway, that's it. Another important one to this council.
Yep.
Right, they should come in very early, November or January. Well, November, we've got September and November. Okay. Thank you. All right then, so that's page 32 and 33. And I'm told it's over, and I have to say to you, it's now 8:15, and I feel, gentlemen in particular, I've earned my money tonight.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
It's only bloody mayor's job, that's
right. That's right.